Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. You've assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. Boy, do we have a great segment for you tonight, my friends. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. And if you have not been following the story of Carville, Art Bell's alien statue at the Asheville Mystery Museum, let me just give you a little recap. It's almost an unbelievable story, but a few years ago, I was in California appearing on an episode of Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel, and while I was out there, I received a phone call from Mr. Mobius, our associate producer, who told me, amazingly enough, the Art Bell, creator of Coast to Coast AM, had an alien that he needed to get out of his house as soon as possible. And I said, what are you talking about? And Mobius assured me this was true, that Art Bell had this 100-pound, 4-foot-tall alien statue that had been right there in his home and studio for years as he was broadcasting these classic coast-to-coast AM shows. And that Art, as you may or may not know, several years ago, his wife tragically died, and so he remarried. And Art had claimed that his new wife and the new little daughter were terrified because they said this alien statue was coming to life at night and running around the house, and it was just scaring them half to death. And Art was not the least bit humorous about this. He was very serious, and he said that he had to get it out of there because it was just causing too many problems at home. And I told Mobius, I said, you know, I'm not going to believe this unless Art Bell himself calls me and tells me. And sure enough, not too long after that, the phone rang. It was Art Bell. And, of course, Art had interviewed me over the years a number of times, but this was the first time Art had ever just called me up to talk about something personally. And he repeated to me the exact same thing that Mobius had told me. And Art said, you know, it's got to be out of here ASAP. And I explained, well, I'm on a set here, and there's no way I can come right now. Can you wait just a week? Art wasn't even able to wait a week. And so it will always pain me that I was not able to go and pick this up in person. But I contacted Jim Castle, a TV producer friend of mine who lived a few hours away. Jim and an assistant drove to Art's ranch in Pahrump, Nevada. Art was a very gracious host. He invited them inside, took them on a tour of his place, and it was all true. You know, here's the statue. Art even wrote this letter, a handwritten letter, verifying the identity and the story of the statue. Art even got down on his hands and knees and signed the base of the statue. We have photographs of all this. And Jim Castle took Carville the alien and shipped him to me. And the story behind the alien, as far as we knew at that time, was that the alien had belonged to Rush Limbaugh. And at some point, Art Bell apparently was at some kind of a broadcasting conference and met Rush Limbaugh. Not that the two have anything in common politically, but as a little broadcaster's gift, Limbaugh decided to send the alien to Art. And so one day this truck came rumbling up into Art's estate, and out came the statue, and Art loved it, and it was a fixture in his home for many years, up until the point when this thing had started coming to life. And so I was just delighted to have it in the museum, and I'll never forget the day it arrived. I took the alien out We set it up in the corner of the museum, and I had a major display arranged for it with signs, with pictures, and I was adjusting all the lighting and making sure everything was just right. I was there by myself eventually up until about 11 o'clock at night, making sure everything was oriented just right, the lighting was positioned just so that we could do a big grand unveiling. And I left the museum that night. And the next morning, I came back in. I had to run by the museum real quick before I ran another errand downtown. So about 9:30 in the morning, I walk into the museum. I look over, and I was instantly angry because the entire statue in the night had shifted about 20 to 25 degrees to its right. And I thought somebody came in here during the night after all my work, and they had twisted this statue around just to mess with me. But then I checked the security footage from the lobby, I checked the security logs, and I was able to confirm that nobody had gone in or out of that museum during the night. Nothing else was disturbed, and to this day, I cannot explain how in the world this 100-pound statue shifted 20, 25 degrees in the night. Of course, after that, we put a camera on the thing, monitoring it 24/7. And thus far, since then, we've not been able to capture him moving again. But it was just such a weird story. We wanted to know a lot more about the origin of this thing. And of course, I've always been interested in how inanimate objects might somehow gain a life or a spirit and do these things, similar to my research with Robert the Doll down in Key West. So anyway, Art Bell said he didn't know anything other than the fact it came from Rush Limbaugh. And Rush Limbaugh did not respond to requests from him or to him regarding how he got it. So it was a big mystery, you know, where did this statue come from? What was the story of Carville? And it seemed like for a long time we might never know. I will tell you this, however, it was called Carville because Rush Limbaugh, being a politically oriented radio host, he and his friends would make fun of the statue, claiming that it looked like James Carville, the Democratic political pundit, and the name kind of stuck. But we didn't know prior to Limbaugh where it came from. And fortunately for us, Vance Pollock, our chief historian there at the Asheville Mystery Museum, diligently spent time tracking down the origin of Carville. And you can't imagine how excited I was when he confirmed that Carville the Alien was carved by an artist named Darren Hussey. And he is a very well-known professional sculptor who works now especially with bronze. He travels all around the world. His website is bigbronze.com. And I ended up contacting Darren, and sure enough, now the final piece has fallen into place, and I could not be more excited than I am right now to welcome him onto this program to get the scoop on the origin of this statue. So, Darren Hussey, welcome, sir, to Speaking of Strange.
Hi, how you doing tonight?
You know, this is such a delight. I thought this show would never happen, Darren. I got to be honest with you. And by the way, I'm shocked too.
So they found me.
Hey, am I pronouncing your last name correctly, Darren Hussey? Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, very good. So now, Darren, first off, tell us a little bit about how you became a professional sculptor.
Well, we originally started out making wooden duck decoys. I lived down in Maryland around the Chesapeake Bay, and that was sort of a popular thing. And I found that people wanted to buy them, and they took a lot of work, and they were small, and you couldn't make much money on them. So I kind of started moving into larger carvings, which I liked doing better. I was making cigar store Indians, and then all of a sudden that everybody was smoking cigars in the 90s, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, what happened is the demand, you know, you can make one every, you know, maybe one a month, and then all of a sudden everybody had to have a cigar store Indian. So I was engaged to a woman from Thailand at the time, and we went over to her country, and we happened to be lucky and find a somebody who worked for the Department of Interior, and they took me where they did professional wood carving. And most of these guys at the time, their main thing that they were carving were Buddhist statues for the Buddhist temples. And this is way up in northern Thailand, so it's quite agricultural up there. But how they make these, and you know, I work with them on the first one to get it, you know, the way we want it, so they understand, you know, what we're going to make and how many. At that time, the way they made a wood carving is they go out into the jungle or forest there. It's a very thick forest, and they'd cut down a tree, and they would use elephants to haul the log back, and they'd lay it out on the ground, and they'd start hammering and chiseling it away. I mean, it's 100% by hand. And, you know, I made a lot of cigar store Indians. We still make them up there. It's a lot more modern of an area 20 years later. And I kind of have a bit of a sense of humor. I like to make offbeat things just off of a whim. And, you know, I've always been interested in aliens and offbeat type of things. So we made some aliens.
And so now, what kind of wood do you think that this statue was made out of? Do you recall?
Well, it's a breed of mahogany. It's a soft carving mahogany. Up there, they call it cham cha wood, which literally means crab claw. And they call it crab claw wood because it's a leaf. Similar here would be like sassafras. It's an irregular-shaped leaf, and it almost looks like a crab claw with the two pincers. So they call it, you know, crab claw tree.
And did all of your aliens look the same, or were each one sort of unique, so to speak?
Well, they're all hand-done, so they are unique. I think we made two of them that were life-size to, you know, an adult, about 70 inches high. And I think we made four or five of them that were maybe 50 or 60 inches high, to my memory. Now, this is all back in the early 90s we did this, so... It's not, you know, I remember them. I had one in my own house for years, and we moved, and I wound up doing something else with it. But
all right. Well, I tell you what, we're going to go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how in the world this particular alien statue ended up in the realm of Rush Limbaugh. Who would have ever imagined that, not to mention the journey that would follow? Folks, I'm talking right now with Darren Hussey. He is an artist. He is a sculptor. He travels the world. He just got back from Asia where he was working on a sculpting project. His website is bigbronze.com, and we will continue solving this mystery on Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll be back right after this.
Are we human?
Welcome back to Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, and we are talking right now about Carville, Art Bell's alien statue that is now on display at the Asheville Mystery Museum, adored by thousands of people from around the world every year. And amazingly enough, well, thanks to Vance Pollock, we have the man who carved, the man who created the alien statue right here with us tonight, Darren Hussey. He is with BigBronze.com, and you'll find a link at SpeakingOfStrange.com, BigBronze.com, because most of his work now is in bronze, but there was a period in the 90s when he was carving a lot of stuff out of wood. And Darren, how long do you think it took you to carve Carville, the alien?
Well, I think each one took a couple weeks each.
Wow, so there's a lot of attention and time and detail paid to each one of these. How in the world did Carville end up in the hands of Rush Limbaugh?
Well, as I said, I made cigar store Indians, and in the early 90s, when the whole cigar and tobacco trade really had a big boom, there were cigar stores opening up all over, and also in New York City, a lot of the main tobacco companies are located, and they wanted to buy some of my cigar store Indians also. And I was delivering a bunch of stuff up there. Particularly, there was a House of Oxford was a cigar store right there by the Flatiron Building on Fifth Avenue. And it was like an old-school cigar store that was in the middle of New York City. And we were delivering some things to him. And I was in his store, and I was listening to Rush Limbaugh was on the radio. And I have a bit of a sense of humor. I like to do some, you know, fun things, and I don't mind donating or giving something to somebody out of just for a kick. And there was a paper in there, the Inquirer, which is, it's an old scandal sheet. I remember seeing it around since I was a kid. They had these bizarre things in there, and they would touch up all the photos and everything. And they had a picture of Rush Limbaugh talking to the aliens. And apparently every election, I'm not a real political person, but every election, I guess the Inquirer would make a story that the aliens wanted so-and-so to run because they thought that he should be president. And I guess this election, I think it was in 94 or 98, they wanted Rush Limbaugh to run for president. And there were pictures of him on there with the alien. I happen to have one on my truck. So I said, well, just for grins, why don't we, you know, his movie studio's right up the street. We'll go up and just drop one off and say, here, take it. So that's what we did. I didn't bring it in. The guy working for me at the time bought it in, and he said it was quite a fuss because it was in a wooden crate. And they were like, what is it? You can't just leave this here. And you know, he said, well, here's the guy's, you know, my card, and he wants to give Rush Limbaugh this gift. And, you know, we just left it there. And then I never even got a chance to listen to rest of the radio show. But apparently he talked about it, and he put it up in his studio. And that's pretty much the last I heard of him. I didn't know what happened to him after that, whether he ended up as firewood or what.
How amazing is that? So, okay, in the 90s, there were two presidential elections in 92 and 96. So do you have an idea of which one of those elections it would have been?
I think it was 96.
Okay. And, of course, Bill Clinton won both of those. And so you draw, and of course, nowadays, probably if you had dropped off a big crate like that, they would have called the bomb squad, especially at Rush Limbaugh's office, right?
Right.
But so obviously there was a big fuss. It's a shame you weren't around to see the look on Rush Limbaugh's face when they opened this thing and he saw this alien. And obviously he fell in love with it enough to name it and start joking about it as being Carville. And so now that you know the rest of the story, you know that it made its way from Rush to Art Bell, from Art Bell to me and my museum. First off, let me ask you, how as an artist does that make you feel? Because you said, you know, this thing could have ended up as firewood. How does that compare to your expectations for this thing?
Well, I'm really flattered, you know. I never thought it would have made that kind of a journey. I figured, you know, maybe Rush Limbaugh would have it for a while as a gag, you know, kind of a gag gift, and, you know, who knows what would happen to it after that. I mean, valuable, precious car, you know, antique cars and stuff go missing, so, you know, what's an alien going to do?
Well, that's right. And, of course, nowadays, when people go to the museum, and they see this alien, they have an immediate reaction. Either they love him, and I've seen people, I'm not kidding you, just start crying. I've seen people laughing, even though they're not supposed to touch him. I've seen people run up and hug him. Some other people are just terrified of him, but everybody seems to agree that he has this kind of sincere, lifelike quality. Now, as a person who has worked on a lot of statues, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, any wood carver will tell you that wood is an organic product, and it does have a life of its own. You know, things like flooring and stuff, you know, they get really, really oven dried, and you know, they become just a clunk of wood. But these were actually just taken out of the forest, hand-carved, and they were basically air-dried, and they had some, you know, oven drying, which was basically a fire in a concrete room. And any wood carver will tell you there's certain pieces of wood that inspire them, and there's certain type of pieces of wood they don't like carving. Wood has a life and a personality of its own, and, you know, I've been dealing in cigar store Indians for a long time, and I would walk into a, you know, storage room where I may have 30 or 40 of these 6-foot-high cigar store Indians, and it's, you know, they're just clunks of wood. But there has been time over the years when there's been one or two times that there's been one particular Indian that just seemed to have a life of his own. One time my wife said she, and we both agreed which Indian it was and everything, my wife said she heard the traditional music from the hill tribes in her country at night. And I'm like, well, where's the sounds like it coming from? She goes, well, it sounds like it's down in the garage. And I said, yeah, this one Indian in there really gives me the creeps. I mean, it just, I feel like it's watching me. So wood has, you know, sometimes you get a piece of wood, it may have a life of its own. And any wood carver will agree with me on that, I'm pretty sure.
Now, you know, a Carville is in remarkably good shape. The paint still looks great on him. I'm assuming you painted him as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so before we come up on our next break here in about a minute, he is getting some little cracks here and there. How do you think we should we do anything to try to make sure he's preserved, or how would you handle the statue to make sure he stays good and healthy and intact?
Well, the cracks in wood are caused by rapid and uneven drying. And probably being out in Art Bell's house out there in the dry desert of Nevada is probably really where he got the cracks. Probably mm-hmm. the best thing is to keep him in a cool and damp area. I tell a lot of people, I say, well, they ask me, is it going to crack? I say, nobody knows if it's going to crack, but you can kind of steer it a little bit. Keep it away from radiators. Keep it away from, you know, if you have a house in the wintertime and you heat it up to 72 degrees and it's 20% humidity outside, well, once you heat that up to 72 degrees, you probably have 2 or 3% humidity. So when you get a low humidity, it makes the wood dry really fast, and that's when it starts losing adhesion. The splinters of wood start breaking loose of each other and cracking.
All right, well, we've got to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the value of Carville, because, I mean, aside from the fact that he has been in the possession of two giants in the broadcasting field, how much did he cost originally? How much might he be worth today? And also, we're going to talk more about the work that Darren is doing right now in bronze. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You are listening to Speaking of Strange. Oh. out to high strangers around the globe. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. And I'm talking right now with Darren Hussey. He is an artist, a sculptor. He is the creator of the alien statue we know as Art Bell's alien, Carville the Alien, which you can see now, or who you can see now, at the Asheville Mystery Museum. Darren's website is bigbronze.com. That's B-I-G-B-R-O-N-Z-E, bigbronze.com. He's joining us tonight from Delaware. And, of course, Darren, to us, Carville the Alien is priceless. And, in fact, when it comes to the idea that this alien was owned by Rush Limbaugh and then Art Bell and is now in the museum, I mean, Art Bell and Limbaugh are both in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame. There's no way to put a price on that. So that we will never know what the real value of Carville is. But just out of curiosity, if you had sold a statue like that in 1996, how much would it have cost? And then what do you think, without all of the celebrity connection, the statue just by itself in a store would be worth today?
Well, if I ever get to be a celebrity and become a famous artist, it'll be priceless. But most of my market, I do a lot of production and wholesale. So probably Carville, that alien probably would retail for about $1,000. And I probably would wholesale something like that at about half that cost.
And then that was when you created it or now?
It's about the same as when I created it. It's about the same now.
Yeah. And of course, there's no way that we can calculate the degree of what celebrity adds to its history, its provenance. And believe me, my friend, you're already a pretty famous sculptor, and you're becoming more famous as we speak. So let's talk a little bit about some of the work that you do now. I mean, you travel around the world. Do you work exclusively in bronze now?
No, I still do the cigar store Indians. They're still kind of following the guys who have their man caves, and they have their old gas pump and a classic car and, you know, all that in the garage. I'll get a cigar store Indian.
Yeah. Well, when you travel to Asia, for example, what kind of work do you usually do there?
Well, I was actually up at the wood carving studios just a couple weeks ago, and I spent some time up there, you know, doing some design work or some new ideas. I also spend a lot of time doing bronze sculpture. That takes quite a bit of time, and there's a lot of hands-on involved in that. I'm actually making a 15-foot high hand that's supposed to look like a hand coming out of the ground, and it's for a fellow in Texas who has a building called the Hand Building. He wants to put it out in front of his building. But I do a lot of stuff for universities and things. So you have the, we have a local university here, Towson. They have a Towson Tiger. Well, we made a big 10-foot-high leaping tiger for their school mascot as a sort of a rally-around point on their campus. So that seems to be a popular part of business right now.
And when you are working on these pieces of art, do you feel almost like you are channeling something from beyond? Or, I mean, where does this talent come from?
Well, I'm kind of a dreamer, and I always have been, so I'm always thinking of these ideas. You know, as an artist, I often do things that are customers' ideas or requests. But I often, a recent thing I made, I just started reading about the Tasmanian tiger, and, you know, I just made a bronze Tasmanian tiger, and it's just like, well, you know, let's make a, you know, from all the information I gathered about it, the way it looked and the size, you know, we made a bronze Tasmanian tiger. I do a life-size T-Rex skull in bronze, too, and it's, you know, museums like it because they can leave it outside and they don't have to worry about somebody breaking it. It's that strong. So I'm always trying new things. I mean, it's you got to keep reinventing yourself today. It's a pretty tough economy.
Yeah, oh yeah, you're right, and obviously you are doing a very good job at that. And given your vast experience in creating these types of visages, these bodies, these representations, what is your opinion on something like voodoo dolls?
Well, I tend to be more scientific oriented, but I also I have a respect for some of the other things that go on in this world that don't really have an explanation. I've seen a lot of things happen that there's really no scientific explanation and can't prove it all the time, but, you know, there is something to it. And if people believe in it, that gives it more, all the more power.
Yeah, and, of course, one of the great things about Carville the alien is that he is in an environment now where he's being studied. There is ongoing study of him. And if there is something to this idea that inanimate figures can become lifelike from time to time, Carville may be absolutely spearheading that study, which is, you know, another one of the reasons that he's priceless to us. And you know, it's funny because if you think about it, Art Bell's a big hero of mine. Obviously, you know, I do a lot of work on Coast to Coast AM. And if one were to try to figure out a way to capture the essence or, you know, embody a representation of Art and what he did, you might think, well, we'll get one of his microphones or maybe his headphones or something like that. But that's the same thing you could apply to any broadcaster. What is more perfect? What is more fitting than to have an alien statue that was right there absorbing that incredible wattage that Art Bell was pumping out for years to millions of people around the world who are up at night with him as he sat there with his pot of coffee and his pack of cigarettes, taking us on these imaginative journeys. There's nothing more suitable, more perfect to represent that than this alien that we have. And even though you had no idea where it would end up, you know, I want to thank you for creating that thing and having the vision and, in fact, the generosity to drop it off there at Rush Limbaugh's place, because you started a journey there with your piece of art. And I guarantee you, long after you and I are both gone, people are still going to be traveling to that museum or wherever else he may be and appreciating him. And you have my word, as long as I'm alive, he will never be firewood, okay?
Well, you know, he's really, if you think about it, he's really ended up where he belongs. I kind of donated him because I felt that's where he belonged at that moment. That's where, you know, Rush Limbaugh was on that cover of that magazine. And he got it to Art Bell, who pioneered the whole supernatural, you know, nighttime experience on the radio and often talked about aliens. And now he's in your museum. So I pretty much say that's where he belongs right now. And that's where he'll stay for now.
Well, you did a good job. Now, your website, again, is bigbronze.com. Before we come up on this break and have to wrap up our conversation, anything else you want to tell our listeners who want to learn more about you and your work?
Well, I have another website, allclassics.com, which is pretty much the same as bigbronze.com. And, you know, if somebody needs, I'm commercial, I work cheap, I go overseas to the foundries to get my customers the lowest cost on making a bronze statue, and that's where bronze casting was created thousands of years ago. And, you know, some people say, oh, well, that's made over in Asia. Well, being made in Asia is where the whole bronze casting process started. But if anyone needs anything, especially large statues, well, I can really accommodate them and get them something really nice at a great price and, you know, make their dream come true.
All right. Well, again, that's allclassics.com or bigbronze.com. And, Darren, this has been a dream come true for me and a lot of people tonight. So thank you so much, sir, for creating Carville and for being on this program, Speaking of Strange, this evening.
Well, thank you, Warren. And I'm going to make sure and get down to your museum next time I'm down in Carolina. So I suggest everyone else go down there and check this out. It's a pretty amazing piece.
That'll be a big celebration. You come to the museum, we'll have a big party, and we'll invite the media. It'll just be fun for everyone. Folks, there you have it. The man who created Carville the alien, Darren Hussey, bigbronze.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I have some info I want to share with you about the Chupacabra. I got one of these emails from somebody who has some insight, and I just had to make sure that you hear about this on the radio tonight. Stick around for this. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird, keeping you company. Thanks for spending your evening with us. You are listening to Speaking of Strange. Deep into safe harbor, and we can talk about some of the more outrageous and controversial news, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended, some of the more sordid and seedy stuff that you may or may not want to hear. So if you're the type of person who wants to get into the dark side, stick around for that. And trust me, there are one or two stories that I'm still not sure how I'm going to read them, because this is FCC-regulated air. And one of them, just like the last one, just it honestly makes me cringe right now. I'm just, if you could see me, I'm twisted up into a little ball cringing. But gosh, you know, I want to thank once again Vance Pollock, our chief historian, for finding Darren and making it possible for us to get him on the air. How cool was that? And also, as you may or may not know, in September, Art Bell is returning to the airwaves. He has a serious radio program called Dark Matters. He is going to be hopefully coming on our show, or we can go on his show or work it out to get Art's perspective on how this thing came to life, because you've heard his story, but I'd like for you to hear it from his lips. If you want to see Carville the Alien, if you want to go and experience this sculpture face to face yourself, just visit hauntedasheville.com. Take any of our tours, and we'll take you into the Asheville Mystery Museum and let you see it. And, well, we own the Asheville Mystery Museum, so we're the only avenue to get access. So as you folks probably realize, this is my last broadcast here for the time being from Puerto Rico, and I've been down here for the past 4 months talking about the mysteries, the UFOs, the chupacabra, I mean, all kinds of bizarre stuff. And I've been reading to you some interesting emails I've gotten from people who are wanting to help and contribute to my research. I got this email the other day, and I think I should share it with you. Listen to this. It says, Joshua, the reason for the chupacabra is that a gray alien spacecraft crashed in the El Yunque rainforest. About six people have seen the photo of the dead alien lying on a stainless steel table. The commander of the 500,000-member National Guard gave this photo to his girlfriend, who then showed it to a friend of mine, I will withhold the name right now, who lives in San Juan. And then another guy he names of UPS mailboxes in Condado made a color copy of the photo for the girlfriend who works across the hospital in a boutique. Then a waiter at the Marriott saw the Army and Navy SEALs removing the spacecraft by helicopter to the former Navy base on the east of the island circa 1995. The hole split open, and three chupacabras escaped into Canavanas. When I was eating dinner at the Marriott, I overheard two men at the next table talking in Spanish about the crash. It turned out that I recognized one man as the commander of the National Guard. A Freedom of Information Act inquiry to the Navy or National Guard might get more information. The purpose of the creature was to provide freshly digested food to the grays, who would plaster it on their chest and absorb it through the skin. And this email was sent to me by a man who identified himself as a resident of the States and calls himself a hyperspace physicist. He even included his address and phone number. And so I replied to this, and I said, well, how can I see this photograph? And he has gotten back with me and given me some tips, so we'll see if I'm able to come up with this photograph or some rendition of the photograph. And if so, I will do my best to share it with you as quickly as possible before I am assassinated or the websites are destroyed or we're taken off the air. You know, that's how you have to think when it comes to something like the chupacabra. Again, I would never do anything to undermine the security of the U.S., but if they have a chupacabra, I think you deserve to see what the chupacabra looks like. So we'll keep you updated. And we're going to come back after this break and dig into, yes, the dark side of things, the sordid and seedy side of things, the news that you don't hear reported so much in the mainstream media. That's why we call it the dark 30 hour during Safe Harbor. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It is called Speaking of Strange.
Looking back.